Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
It's a three-point sermon. There's a one-point sermon. There is a get-to-the-point sermon. And unfortunately, there does exist, what was the point, sermon? Well, today we've got 3 points, and hopefully we're going to be done at the same time. That you're not going to be done before I am, and vice versa. That the Lord will just help us walk through this this time of the message. A couple weeks ago, I talked about humility, talked about walking with God and how we're instructed to walk with God. He has shown you, O man, what God has required of you. Part of it was to walk humbly with our God. We talked about how Abram was instructed to walk before God and be blameless. And I've been thinking a lot about my walk with the Lord, my journey with God. And the notes are on the app if you have our church app, and you can follow along. There's going to be a lot of scriptures we're going to go through this morning. But I've been thinking about my walk with the Lord. And so there are 3 things that I'd like to share with you from my walk that hopefully will be helpful to our walk. When I think about people who have been walking with the Lord in the Bible, I think about Adam, and I really hope that Adam walked with God. I hope that there was a window, that there was a time when Adam walked with God. We recognize, Scripture says that they recognized the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This beautiful phrase and picture of God walking in this garden, and my hope would be that at some point Adam actually walked with him. That there was this window. Scripture doesn't define that, but it does about one of Adam's descendants, Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And this is what it says in Genesis. Genesis 5, verse 22, it says this. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. He had fathered other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And it's a unique phrase, and he was not. He was not what? It just says, he was not, for God took him. Took him where? Hebrews helps us with this. Hebrews will tell us, Hebrews 11, 5, it'll talk about Enoch, and it'll say, by faith Enoch was taken where? He was taken up. He was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For before he was taken up, he was attested to have been pleasing to God, or to have been pleasing to God. God took him to heaven. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. They couldn't find him because God simply took him to heaven. In the midst of this genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, and many, many preacher people have said this phrase. Maybe you've heard it lots or heard it for years. But the interesting part of the genealogy, they lived, they had kids, they died. They lived, they had kids, they died. They lived, they had kids, they died. But in the midst of all of that, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And I thought, that I want that to be my life. In the midst of this generation, in the midst of people living and having families and dying, I want it to be said of me, and Barry walked with God. And Barry walked with God. And so in these 3 things that I want to share with you, I'll tell you what they are, and then we'll talk about them. 3 things that I think that are really essential to our walk with God. Communion. Having a faithful and faith-filled, obedient lifestyle, that we would walk in faith-filled and faithful obedience. And then thirdly, that we would glorify God. Communion with him. Faithful and faith-filled obedience, and glorifying God. Communion. We'll talk about that first off. Communion. This is what communion has to do with it. In my mind, a closeness, a fellowship, a nearness. John 15, verse 4, Jesus will talk about abiding in him. It says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The word abiding means dwelling, living in, dwell in me, live in me, There's a phrase in Scripture that says, it's in him we live and move and have our being. Dwell in him, live in Christ. And it's not just positionally, it's relationally. Communion isn't just positionally, it's relationally. But when we think about Ephesians, where it says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and those wonderful scriptures about our authority and our position in Christ as a child of God, it's, communion isn't talking about that. Communion is talking about relationship. So you can be legally related to someone, but not have relationship with them. In the brokenness of our world, don't we see that all the time, where you can be legally related, a mom and a dad to a child, but they have no relationship. And the sorrow and the heartache that happens. There can be people, siblings, brothers and sisters. We know that some of us experience that, where relationship has fallen apart. We're related, but we're not in relationship. Extended family members, we're related, but we're not in relationship. So we're called not just to be related, I am a child of God, but we're called to be in relationship, that there's a communion, that there's a nearness, that there's a closeness that we have with God. When I think about my relationship with God, my walk with God, I need it to be more than communication. I need it to be communion. It's not just about communicating, praying and reading. It's about communion. And so when I pray, I need to hear his voice. I need to recognize and hear his voice. I need to hear his voice through the Bible. That is the number one way that God speaks to me. I think that's the number one way that God speaks to us, and it's certainly the surest, because God will never contradict his word. He speaks to us through his word. Sometimes we wrestle with God, speak to me, speak to me. He already has. Open God's word, and he will speak to you out of his word. But I need to hear his voice through his word. And I need him to hear my voice. I was going to say, he needs to hear my voice. I'd phrase it differently. I need him to hear my voice. I need to hear his voice through his word. And I need him to hear my voice through prayer. And can I invite you, when I talk about communion and prayer, I'm really referring to out loud prayer. Not just the prayers of our heart, the cry of our hearts. And certainly there is, you know, the psalmist will say, hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. There is a heart's cry that we have. There are deep things, deep calls unto deep. There are deep things in our hearts. And God knows our thoughts, and he knows the words even before they're on our tongue, Scripture says. But when we talk about communion, it's not just, oh God, you know my thoughts anyway, you know my heart anyway. But pray out loud. It's not just him hearing our thoughts. It's him hearing our voice. And not only hearing our voice, but hearing our tone. And when I talk about hearing God's voice, we need to hear God's tone, not just his voice. We need to hear his heart. Do you remember the scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've got a problem with your language, you actually have a problem with your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We believe that's true, God's word. I also believe that's true about God. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. And that's why it's so essential that we hear his tone. Not just the words, but the heart behind the words. We hear the tone. And that doesn't come our recognizing his tone, who he is, nature, character, communion with God. It doesn't come, I don't believe it comes any other way than undistracted time. Undistracted time with him. Clement of Alexandria called this keeping company with God. Keeping company with God. You might say, but I'm not good at that. I'm not good at spending long periods of time. And I would say very, hopefully you will hear my tone in this. I would say hopefully very kindly and graciously, but firmly, then get good at it. But I'm not good at that. Then get good at it. Then get good at it. I don't have the time to do that. You don't know my schedule. Without any sense of condemnation or judgment, I would invite you to ask the Lord to help you with that. God, I don't have time to spend with you. He will help you. Show you where. Often it shows up like conviction. But he will show you where you can find time to be with him. When we read the Bible, we need to hear the voice of God. The God who spoke still speaks today. We need to hear his voice, and we need to recognize his voice. This is the first part of communion. When I think about my walk with God, I have to walk in communion with him. And I need to recognize his voice. I need to know his voice. And I need him to hear my voice in prayer. I remember being part, when in Airdrie we shared a building, so we were part of a closer relationship with an Anglican church, St. Francis of Assisi Anglican Church. Sometimes I'd be part of their services. And there's a phrase that they say during the service as they're praying. You might very well be familiar with it. I think Catholic people will say this as well. It says, "Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer." And it's such an expression of their hearts. They've already prayed. He's heard it. But it's that, "Lord, hear our prayer." And when I think about communion with God, I need to hear his voice, but I also need him to hear my voice. Lord, hear my prayer. I need to be able to recognize his voice. And there are lots of voices in the world that speak to us. You know, I think there have been four people in our church. Maybe there's more, but I only know of four over the years who have received an email from me that wasn't from me. That very similar email address. Instead of Barry at Cornerstone Foursquare Church, it says Barry at Cornerstone dot Foursquare Church, something just really, really close. They get the email, and it's me saying, "Hey, I need some money." It says, "I'm in a meeting right now." This will often be, maybe you've seen, "I'm in a meeting right now. I can't talk. Can you email me back?" But a number of people who this has happened to have said, that doesn't sound like you. Pastor Chris got an email from me recently that said, "Hey, you got a sec?" I've never said, "Hey, do you got a sec?" My secretary years ago, Eve, got this email from me. I'm in a meeting, and I was away. I was in Halifax. She gets this email and says, "I'm in a meeting. I can't talk right now. Can you please get back to me? Kind regards, Pastor Barry." Many of you signed your emails "kind regards." That's fantastic. That's lovely. I never have. I sign it like, I don't know, "Following Jesus together" is what I typically do. But it was enough that they recognized the tone. That's not his voice. That's not what he sounds like. And we need to be able to recognize the voice of God. It says this, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And it takes us right to the next point. "And they follow me." Number two, faithful and faith-filled obedience. Walking in communion with God, but faithful and faith-filled obedience. Believing God, who he is, trusting in God. We sang it this morning as the team led us. I trust in God. That is faith. For me, faith isn't just simply a declaration, although we declared things, and I'm so grateful for that. Faith is, I trust in you. Faith in God. I am trusting you. I'm not trusting you for all of these other things. I'm just simply trusting you. I have faith in you. I know in whom I have believed. Trust. Scripture tells us this without faith in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And for the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. Faith, trusting God. If you're struggling this morning with trusting in God, I would encourage you to read the Psalms. Some time ago, well, it was October 18th, I remember. It was a pivotal moment in my life. October 18th, I got out of my regular Bible reading plan and started in Psalms, and I started in Psalm 1. And I read often, out loud, all the way to Psalm 50. I said, "Okay, I'm going to do this again." Back through, and just continued to read over the Psalms, and those first 50 Psalms or so, just talking about, "I trust in God. God, I trust in you. My hope is in you. My confidence in you. I will trust in the Lord." And it just was, I needed to solidify my trust in God. And David and the psalmists helped me do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I said the Psalms out loud, and that my ears would hear what my voice is declaring and proclaiming. And so if you need to do that, go through the Psalms. And then after Psalm 50 for a while, it gets pretty discouraging. So I went back to the first ones and did the good ones. Just, there are dark times we go through. I'm so glad there are other Psalms in the Bible, the distressing Psalms, the struggling, and we acknowledge that. I wasn't in a place where I needed that. I needed to declare I trust in you, God. Full of faith and faithfulness, following him, obeying him. Our motto is our church, following Jesus together. Following Jesus together. It's not all about me, all my preferences or desires or wants. I am following him. I know his voice through communion, but I follow him through allegiance. He's my king. Jesus, you are king. John 14, 15 says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That love for me will cause you to keep my commandments. There's a story of a young boy who was 8 years old, went to his dad. They had a small farm. He said, Dad, I'm old enough to milk the cows. Dad said, No, you're not. He said, Dad, I'm old enough to milk the cows. He said, you aren't old enough. He said, Dad, I can do it. Let me try. Okay, let's go out. And the boy, I was going to say sat down. I don't know what you do milking a cow, but I mean, I know the principle. But so whatever he did, he did, and he successfully milked 3 cows or so. And the dad says, son, you are absolutely right. You're old enough to milk the cows. For the next 12 years, the boy was milking the cows. At one point, he said to his dad, Dad, I don't want to milk the cows anymore. And his dad said this, son, it's okay. You don't have to want to milk the cows just as long as you do it. You don't have to want to do it. As long as you do it. And I think that's something of our faith-filled and faithful obedience to the Lord. You don't have to want to do it just as long as you do it. I know there's a bigger picture. Jesus talks about our hearts, and it's more than the outward appearance and the external things. And our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, and that our hearts really do matter. But I've discovered for me that I can have a right heart and a bad attitude. That my heart can still be, Lord, I want to follow and serve you, but I don't feel like doing this right now. I don't feel like obeying there. And the Lord would say to me, Barry, it's okay, you don't have to feel like it. Just as long as you do it. I choose to obey out of love and allegiance. My feelings do not always equal my heart. But I have a resolve. I have decided to follow Jesus. Faith in who he is, trust in the Lord with all our hearts, follow his command and follow his voice. And we will close with this. Number 3, so that my communion, our communion with God, not just communication, but communion, not just being related, but being in relationship. And then secondly, full of faith, God, I trust you, I believe you. And out of that, I am going to be faithful. And then third, glorifying God. Verse 16 of Matthew 5 says this, your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your light must shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That they would see your good works and not just say, hey, way to go, well done. Attaboy, attagirl. But glorify your Father in heaven. Scripture tells us this, Jesus speaking, it's the upper room discourse. It's in John chapter 17. It's before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and all that unfolds there towards the crucifixion. John 17 verse 1 says this as he prays to the Father. Jesus spoke these things, raising his eyes to heaven. Verse 1 says, he says, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Glorify me that I may point people back to you. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life And this is eternal life, that you know, that you may know. Pardon me. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And then he says this phrase, then he prays this phrase. I have glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do. You want to glorify God? Accomplish the work he's given you to do. Do what Jesus has called you to do, when Jesus has called you to do it, how Jesus has called you to do it. Do what he's called you to do, when he's called you to do it, and how he's called you to do it. Glorify means to magnify or to honor. A very practical way of glorifying God. We look at John the Baptist. Do you remember the statement that he said? He must increase. I must decrease. Psalm 115 tells us this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. May we be people who would glorify God with our words and with our lives, that they could look at us and we would point them to Jesus. Paul ran into this snag in talking to the church in Corinth. People were saying, well, you know, Paul said, I just can't get enough of Paul. Well, I'm not following Paul, I'm following Apollos. Listen here. Apollos is a guy. Watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 7. It says this, for one says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. If you do that, he's saying, are you not carnal? Fleshly, worldly, that's not how we think. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. God used Paul and Apollos to bring the gospel message to people in Corinth. But he's saying, but it's about God, it's not about the messenger. He says this, who then is, but messengers, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but messengers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. When I look at my life, I just want to glorify God. I just want to glorify God. I had coffee with John Fleck this week, and we were talking about missions and how God is leading him and directing him. And one of the things that he shared with me, I mean, John, I was just so touched. I talked to Audrey about it afterwards. Just how much he wants to serve Jesus. How much he wants to serve Jesus. So, Barry, he's just so gracious talking about the plan and the path of missions and everything. But it was just this phrase, I just want to serve Jesus. I thought, me too. I just want to serve Jesus. And I want people to see whatever we're doing points people to Jesus. See, our goal is not to point people to Cornerstone Church. And I'm so grateful for a church. I'm so grateful for you, and you've chosen to be a part of this. Our goal is not to point people to Foursquare. Our goal is not to point people to us. Our goal is to glorify our Father in heaven and point people to Jesus. May we walk in communion with God. May we live a faith-filled and faithful, obedient life. And in it all, may they see Jesus. May we glorify him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me. I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture just as we set our hearts into this, and then we're going to pray. But listen to this story. It's found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. Peter and John have come to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, and they've seen a man who didn't have the ability to walk. They spoke to him and ministered to him, and he was healed. Many would know that phrase, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I say arise. I say to you, unto you, arise and walk, take up your bed and walk, and he does. See this miracle take place. But as he follows them into the temple, it says he clings to them. We don't often see that picture. We sing the song about jumping and leaping and praising God, but he's clinging to them. Acts chapter 3, verse 11, it says, while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the portico named Solomon's, completely astounded. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people and said, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why are you standing, why are you staring at us as though by our own godliness or power we have made this man well? Why are you looking at us? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Remember Jesus prayed that, "Father, glorify me that I might glorify you." He's glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him perfect health in the presence of you all. Peter and John have walked into the temple. Before they got there, they saw this man healed. He's jumped up. He's clinging to them. All eyes are on them. And they say, "Why are you looking at us?" As if somehow by our own godliness or our own power, we have made this man well. Well, they get hauled into the court and they have to stand before the leaders. And Peter will give defense again in chapter 4, verse 8, and he will say this: "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for doing a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel.'" He didn't say that we knew how to pray for him, that we said the right words, that we had enough faith that was about him. He doesn't say any of that. He says that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. So, Father, we pray this morning, may we walk in communion with you. May we abide in you. Father, we pray that you would help us to walk in faith and in faithfulness, that we would obediently follow you. And may all we say and do glorify you, our Father in heaven, as we point people to Jesus. In Jesus' name.
We just heard a message about walking with the Lord, and I want to invite you this morning here in the room or online, if you've never known what it is to walk with the Lord, I want to give you the opportunity to understand and experience that today. Sometimes we think that maybe we're okay with God. We know who God is, and when we need him, we pray, and that's good enough. But the fact is, we need to walk with him. He wants to have a relationship with us, not just a communication when we feel like tossing out a prayer to him or in need of him, but he wants to actually have a relationship with us and walk with us. And the way to do that, and the only way to do that, is through his son, Jesus Christ, and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to understand what it is to walk with him, to know who he is, to experience a relationship with him, and to know for certain that your soul is secure in him. And also, maybe you are a person who has walked with him, but you've backslidden. You've just stopped walking with him. Well, today you can be restored in that relationship with him. You can learn what it is to walk with him again. And so if this morning you just feel that tug at your heart and that knowing that you need to know who God is, you need to be put back into right relationship with him, I'm going to say a prayer, and just pray it with me in your heart, out loud, whatever is comfortable for you, whatever you feel is right for you, whatever you just sense that you want to do this morning, pray this prayer with me. It's going to be on the screen behind me, so you can say it together with me if you want. And this is a prayer. Lord Jesus, Thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the most important decision you will ever make. It's the most important decision you will ever make to know that you are secure with God. So if you prayed that prayer this morning, tell somebody that you prayed the prayer. Proclaim it. Confess it. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. Make sure you tell somebody.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.